Would you pray with me? Holy God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in us in your sight. For you, O Lord, are the one who strengthens us, the one who redeems us. Amen. I think it's true for many, as it is for my own family. We can look back and remember many wonderful events celebrated around the dinner table, either at home or at a restaurant. There were times when we attended our family reunion back in South Central Pennsylvania, which happened to be yesterday, but I couldn't get there yesterday. And we would always eat at Deer Lodge, which was in the cut of the mountains in Mount Holly Springs, south of Carlisle. This place was the original building was a log building. And at one time, as I said, it served as a hunting lodge. And you go inside and it was decorated with this big wooden bar. And all around you on the wall were deer heads. And I can remember my first meal there. I must have been about 11 or 12. And my grandmother, who lived not far from there, she took our family out to dinner at Deer Lodge. Now, she'd often taken my parents there. It was kind of the steakhouse to eat at in the area. But now I was old enough to go. I could behave at the table. And so Grandma invited me to come too. And I could still remember when they brought those steaks out and they were sizzling, still sizzling on that metal plate. And I thought, oh, that's so cool. I'd never seen that before. It's closed now because of some spat with the town. I think of Andreaccio's of Chautauqua, just across the road, highway from the institution. We always go there at least once a year because when Trevor and Allison were young and growing up, and when we were trying to save money, we would go there for lunch. And they had a very nice but small salad bar, but they also had pizzas. And you could get slices of pizza. It was like a pizza bar. And the kids loved it. And so every year now, Barbara and I go there, not for lunch though, we go for dinner. I think of Philidia's in New York City. And we go from the sublime, or from the ridiculous to the sublime. When Barbara and I went for our anniversary dinner last year. Now, I have always wanted to eat at a restaurant owned by Lydia Bastianich. You might know of her as the Italian chef on PBS Sunday afternoon. I've got three of her cookbooks. And Barbara and I went there. And it was probably the fanciest and the most expensive meal I've ever had and ever will have. But, oh, it was so good. And it's in these instances, though, it's not just the food that is important, but the function. Eating is one of the main social functions of our lives. But as wonderful as these meals can be, and this I especially thought of after the dinner at Philidia's, in a few more hours, we're still going to have to eat again. In fact, we all eat at least two or three times daily. It's an important daily ritual that we go through every day. Today, with the microwaves and the modern cooking appliances, as well as the specialty markets and the modern grocery store, and especially living in this area, the plethora of all the different restaurants that one can go to eat. The work of eating is not so much eating as it is what to eat. I know for a fact that when Barbara and I go out, it generally gets into this friendly argument. Well, where should we go? here. No, I don't feel like that. Okay, well, let's go here. No, how about here? No, no. And we go back and forth. And sometimes we do that enough and we just say, let's just stay home and eat. Because we can't make a decision. In the time of our gospel reading, however, though, eating took time and planning every day. The day often included a trip to whatever kind of market they might have had to get something fresh. Maybe some hunting or fishing is involved as well because of a lack of preservatives, except they had salt, and refrigeration. So we can imagine the astonishment of Jesus being able to feed 5,000 people, which happened just prior to our story today from John. And he was able to feed them with a minimum of fuss and work on his, but more especially on their part. They were impressed enough that they wanted to make him king in verse 15 of chapter 6. And they did not want to lose sight of this fountain of food. So when they woke up the next morning and found that he wasn't there, that he'd moved on, they went off hunting for him. Except Jesus sees through their little caravan and rebukes him. He says, "You want me to feed you again? Of course, it makes life a lot easier when someone just seems to make food appear." Now, it's important to remember that at this point that Jesus did feed them, or maybe more the way I like to think, but Jesus invited them to share what they had with them in that first feeding of the 5,000. They had their physical needs met. But now that they are fed, they want Jesus wants to take them to a different level. Don't work for the food that perishes, that you have to redo in a few more hours. But work for the food that endures to eternal life. Don't be concerned about what goes into your bellies, but also what goes into your hearts. And what we hear in that is the echo of the Samaritan woman at the well in chapter 4. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water is going to be thirsty again. But drink of the water that I will give you, and you will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become like in them like a spring of water gushing up into eternal life." The woman, kind of like the people in our story today from John, said, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty. I have to keep coming here to draw water." And in both cases, Jesus is reminding us there's more to life than just eating and drinking water. More to life than just existing. There's a responsibility to remember that the one who has given us everything, but more than that, this God we are to look to through Jesus Christ has even more to offer if we will work for it. The work that we are to do is to just believe that we have been forgiven and accepted by God. Now you might be saying, "Wait a minute. There's more to that. There has to be." But there isn't. Because for us in the 21st century, just that is hard enough. We've got people from all sides telling us, "Well, we need to do better than this, and we're wrong about this," and back and forth, back and forth. Much of our lives today are based on the fact that we're not good enough. That we are not accepted. And so we spend our whole life trying to get it, to collect it. We spend a whole life trying to get what we already have. If, as Jesus says, we just believe in God, who has, through Christ, given us so much, desperately want total, unconditional acceptance. Renita Williams, in an article entitled Open to the Unexpected in The Other Side magazine, once wrote, "Belief is not something you do or don't possess. It is something you misplace and recover 1,000 times over." Let me say that again. Belief is not something you do or don't possess. It is something you misplace and recover 1,000 times over. And Jesus calls us to be about the work of recovering that faith. The work of faith. To wake up each and every day, and as set as our main purpose, not what we will eat, not what we will do or work as a family, but to believe that we have been given the grace of God. Think about that. If we woke up every day believing that, we could be more about the business of helping other people, taking care of other people, because we're not concerned about ourselves. It helps us to turn our eyesight from inward to outward. Only then can we be, I think, authentic Christians in our daily lives. Only then can we be freed from the fears, the manipulations, the tendencies of worldly living, because only then will we know what's truly important. God loves me. And because of that, God wants me to love others. Looking for a good meal? We all know places where we can find those. But let's look for the important things. Signs of God's saving grace at work in our lives. And believe me, those signs are there. Amen.